Welcome to Shiur Targum Parshas Devarim. We always read Parshas Devarim on the Shabbos part prior to Tisha B'Av, and in part that reflects the fact that Parshas Devarim reiterates the story of the Meraglim. The story of the Meraglim, of course, is first told in Parshas Shlach, but in Parshas Devarim it's told the second time. And of course we know, unfortunately, the Parshas HaMeraglim has a very close tie-in to Tisha B'Av. As we spoke about just a few weeks ago in Parshas Shlach, the return of the Meraglim to the Machane Yisrael takes place on the 8th of Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av. And that night, when the Pasuk says that the people cried on that night is Leil Tisha B'Av, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says that the crying that happened on that night made Tisha B'Av into a night of bechir ladoros, of crying for all the future generations. So these moments that we have before Ma'ariv, it seems appropriate to focus on the story of the Meraglim as told in Parshas Devarim with the comments of the Targumim, which I think we'll see will illustrate and bring out certain aspects of the story. So the Pasuk says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yutes, Vanisa Michorev, we traveled, Moshe Rabbeinu says, from Har Sinai. Vaneleches kol amidbar gadol v'hanoro hahu asher isem. We traveled this whole long desert, this difficult desert, which you saw. It's a very funny language. You know, we traveled this whole desert, which you saw. What do you mean, which you saw? We traveled this whole desert. So the Yonos Ben Uziel says that there are words which are implied in this pasuk. V'chameson, it was a desert in which you saw. Chivin kikashurin, you saw snakes that were as big as boards. Ve'akrabim kikashtin, and you saw scorpions that were as big as bows, like bows and arrows. Saryon ramyon lekuvlechom, and they were disgusting, and they were all in front of you. In other words, asheri isem, you know, that which you saw describes all of these frightful sights that you saw as you went through the desert. And yet you were untouched by these snakes and scorpions, as scary as they were. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected you. Vanovo ad Kodesh Barnea. We came to Kodesh Barnea. Vomar Aleichem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, at that time I said to you, Bosem ad Har HaEmori Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosein Lanu. You've come to the mountain of the Emori, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to us. In other words, we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has delivered the land to you. Alei Resh, go and inherit it. Kasher dibe Hashem Elokei Avosecha Alach, Al Tira V'Al Techos. Go and inherit it, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told you. Don't be afraid in any way. So, of course, the people come and they ask to send out Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I agreed, sent out Meraglim. And then it describes how the Meraglim go into Eretz Yisrael. Vayikhu v'yodom posik chafei, vayikhu v'yodom epri ha'aretz. They take some of the fruits of the land in their hands. Vayorido eleinu, they bring them back. Vayoshibu osanu dover vayomru tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosein lanu. And the Meraglim tell the people, the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us is Tova. It's a good land. Wait a minute, that's not the way I remember the story in Parshas Shlach. In Parshas Shlach, the Meraglim come back and they talk about how the land is an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh. It's a land which is consuming its inhabitants. What do you mean? Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosein lanu. Oh, so the Yonos Ben Uziel writes as follows. V'asivu yosaru pisgama, the Meraglim brought back a report to us. V'amaru kolev Yoshua, and kolev and Yoshua said, Tova arod Hashem Elokeinu yohev lanu. The land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us is a good land. So in other words, according to the Targum Yonos Ben Uziel, the way to read the Pasuk is essentially to put in a comma, which is not obviously there when you read the Pasuk. Vayoshivu osanu davar, the Meraglim as a whole gave us a report, And to be honest, 10 out of 12 of the Meraglim gave us a terrible report about Eretz Yisrael. Kama, Vayomru, but Yoshua and Kalev, in contrast to what the other Meraglim said, Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosein lanu. Those words, the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us is a good land, is exclusively the words of Yoshua and Kalev. Which is a little bit funny if you think about it. In other words, to use an expression that Chazal used in other contexts, Iker chaser min ha-sefer, the main thing seems to be missing from the pasuk. The whole point of the story of the Meraglim is that most of the Meraglim badmouthed Eretz Yisrael, and it was only Yoshua and Kalev who stuck up for it. Here, the way the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziah reads the pasuk, the Meraglim come back, they give a report. I'm not going to tell you what the report was, but you should know, Kalev and Yoshua said that Eretz Yisrael is very good. You're missing a crucial part of the story, right? Truth is, this is not just the Yonasan ben Uzziah. This is Rashi as well. It's a little less obvious than Rashi, just because he only comments on the last part of the pasuk, but it's Rashi. Rashi quoting the Sifri, Vayomru Tova Ha'aretz, Mihem Shamru Tovasa, who are those who spoke about the goodness of the land? Yoshua V'Kalev. Right, so Rashi is essentially reading the pasuk in this similar kind of fashion. Vayoshivu Osanu Dovar, Kama, Vayomru Kalev and Yoshua Tova Ha'aretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosein Lanu. So what do you do with the fact that, you can read the pasuk that way. But by the way, just to get, as way of contrast, the other mefarshim do not explain the pasuk in this way. Just to take an example, we'll go with the Ramban for a moment. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and then he writes, "Vani tamei." I have a problem with this interpretation, says the Ramban. So what complaint does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have against the rest of the Jewish people? The truth is, 10 spies come back and they say it's a difficult land. 2 spies come back and they say it's a good land. You accept the opinion of the 10 over the 2. It seems logical, right? So why is there a taina against Klal Yisrael? So writes the Ramban, Vahanochon Masha Pirashti Shom, Shikulam Hodu Lifne Moshe Ve'amr Chol Ha'ida Ve'amru Bonu El Ha'aretz Asher Shlachton Ve'gam Zovas Cholav Udvash Ve'zepir Yo, Vine Kulam Vaskama Achas V'tovas Ha'aretz. Says the Ramban, no. The Pasuk, when it says that they said that the land is good, is really not just referring to Yoshua and Kalev, it's referring to all the Meraglim. All of the Meraglim said it's a wonderful land. Okay, so what? But the people are so strong, we're not going to be able to conquer them. But the statement that they came back and they said, "Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosein lanu," it's a good land, was the statement that they said unanimously. It wasn't simply Yoshua and Kalev, right? So that's the Ramban writes. The Sfarno writes similarly. Even the 10 Meraglim who were opposed to going into Eretz Yisrael had to concede. They had to admit that Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful land. We're just not going to be able to conquer it, they said. But, Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu nosein lanu, that they all agreed to. Okay, but that's not Rashi and the Yonasan ben Uzziah. Rashi and the Yonasan ben Uzziah divide up the pasuk. It could be that as Moshe Rabbeinu is telling over the story 40 years later, it's almost like he can't even bring himself to describe what the other Meraglim said. The other Meraglim came back and they said something. You know what they said. Right? It's not a mystery to anybody there what they said. So I'm not going to tell you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. But I want to emphasize Yoshua and Kalev stuck to their guns and said, Tova ha'aretz, the land is a wonderful, beautiful land. Right? That's maybe how you read it, according to Rashi and the Yonasan ben Uzziah. Okay. Akoponim. They didn't want to go in. And the Pasuk says in Chav Zayin, Vateirognu v'yohalechem, you complained in your tents, and you said, "Besinas Hashem osono hotzionu me'eretz Mitzrayim." It's because Hashem hates us that He took us out of Mitzrayim. Losseis osono biyado Amori lashmidenu, to deliver us into the hands of the Amori, the Knanim, in order to destroy us. The Yonasan ben Uzziah over here, quoting, working off also of a Sifri, paints a very vivid picture of how the people responded to the Meraglim. V'ranentun b'mashkenechon, you complained in your tents. Nesevtan b'neichon uvnaseichon b'itfeichon. You took your sons and your daughters in your bosom, in your lap. You took them into your chest. Lemeimar, and you said, Voilachon segifin. Woe is to you, little children, how tortured you're going to be. Mechar atun miskatlin. Tomorrow, you're going to be killed. Every PR person knows you appeal to the children, right? So they take their little children into their hands. The people take their little children into their hands and they say, woe is to you, little children. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael tomorrow and you're going to be fodder for the slaughter. You know, they're going to kill the little children, right? Wait to play on the heartstrings. You know, talk about the little children. By the way, the little children are the adults now, right? Now, these little children who were taken into the bosoms of the Dor HaMidbar, of the generation that was experiencing all of the stories with the Meraglim and the like, they're now the audience that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to, right? You say, why talk about the sins of the previous generation? Well, this generation, which is now in adulthood, heard all of the things that the previous generation was saying. They were there. They were part of it. They were little children. But Moshe Rabbeinu wants to make sure that they don't absorb anything from their, you know, from their parents in terms of this attitude. It's a beautiful, very striking image that the Yonah Samar Uziel gives us. You know, the parents are taking their children into their laps and saying, you poor little children, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're all going to be slaughtered. It's a beautiful image, a poignant image. Where does he get it from, right? So the Mefarshim on the Yonah Samar Uziel suggest that it has to do with the word b'yohalechem. Vateirognu v'yohalechem, you complained in your tents. What does the tents have to do with anything? Right? You complained. The Meraglim came back, they gave this terrible report, and you complained. What do I care? You complained in the tent, you complained in the marketplace, you complained in shul, you complained in the mikvah. Like, what do I care where you complained? You complained, that's the point. What's that?
In a cowardly way.
Right, so in other words, you complained using the family in the tent. The tent, of course, is the home. You complained using your own children as props, as it were, in this complaint against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And, you know, perhaps that's part of the taina that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. It's bad enough that you have this, you know, crooked way of looking at the world, but you're trying to pass that on to your children and trying to steer them in a certain direction. That's really a very, very terrible thing. So fine. So the people, of course, refuse to go in. They don't want to go in. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to convince them to go in. Pasuk Choftes, Ba'omar Aleichem. I said to the you at this time, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo sa'ard sun v'lo siri'un mehem. When it comes to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, yes, they are giants. Yes, they are scary. But lo sa'ard sun v'lo siri'un mehem. The word lo siri'un, from the word yira, means you shouldn't be afraid of them. What does lo sa'ard sun mean? So Rashi over here makes reference to the Targum. Rashi says lo sa'ard sun means Loshen Shvira. You shouldn't be broken down or destroyed. Don't be smashed by them. What's that? Where does he get that from? And he quotes the Targum. The Targum writes, Lo Sitabrun. Sitabrun is just the Aramaic of Tishaveirun. You shouldn't be broken because of the people of the land. V'domer lo ba'arutz necholim lishkon lishbor necholim. Quotes a pasuk in Eov where the word arutz means something which is broken. So here the term lo sardson means don't be broken on account. Don't again. It essentially means don't be broken in the sense of being afraid. Right? It doesn't mean physically being broken, but it's don't be broken down. Don't be dissuaded. Don't be shattered. You know, by virtue of the fact that the people inhabiting Eretz Yisrael are tough and difficult people, you'll be able to overcome them. You have the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The commentary Ma'at Sari on the Targum, the Targum Unculus points out that this translation, which Rashi is reading out of Unculus, namely that Lo Sa'artson means don't be broken down, explains other words in Hebrew and helps us understand them a little bit better. And Aritz, Ayin Resh Yud Sadi in Hebrew, is a strong man, a powerful person. So why is Aritz a powerful person? Because he's someone who breaks down and basically pulverizes other people. He has the ability to pulverize other people. Similarly, he explains, the pasuk says, Kel na'arots besod kedoshim rabba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is na'arots. We say it in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening. Right? He's ha-na'arots v'ha-nikdosh. Nikdosh means that he's sanctified. What does na'arots mean? Right? So na'arots means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to destroy is acknowledged. Right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acknowledged by the world as great. Kel na'arots besod kedoshim. Right, in the assembly of Kedoshim, of holy ones, of the Malachim, when they come together, they acknowledge that Kel Na'arot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is powerful. He's all powerful. He can destroy anything. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does destroy everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the world going, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to destroy everything, you know, that he would want. And then again, that all goes back to this Rashi and this Targum over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu tries to convince the people, but the people are unconvinced, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, decrees that the people will be in the Midbar for 40 years. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Zulasi Kalev ben Yefuna hu yirena, with the exception of Kalev ben Yefuna, he will see Eretz Yisrael. V'lo eten es ha'aretz asher darach ba'u levanov. And to him I will give the land which he tread upon, to him and to his children, Yan Asher Milei Achrei Hashem, because Kalev followed the Ribbono Shel Olam. What happened to Yoshua? Where did Yoshua go in this pasuk? Right, the pasuk is only talking about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to spare Kalev and enable him to go into Eretz Yisrael. What happened to Yoshua over here? So although the Targum Yonos of Uziel doesn't ask the question directly, the interpretation that it gives, helps us answer this question, because he translates Eloin Kalei ben Yefuna hu yachmina. Only Kalei ben Yefuna will see it. V'lei etan yasara dechevron, the tayil above livnoi. To him I will give the land of Chevron, which he had entered into, and I will give that to his children as well. So in other words, the reason Kalev is singled out is not to say that only Kalev is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua will also go into Eretz Yisrael, but there's a special promise made to Kalev. Kalev, when he was one of the Meraglim, went and made a special trip to Chevron. The pasuk says, "Vayavo ad Chevron." He alone went to Chevron to visit the Maaras HaMachpelah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "I want to give a special matana, a special gift to Kalev for having gone and tread on this holy place, the Maaras HaMachpelah in Chevron. I will give Chevron to Kalev and his children afterwards," and indeed, as described in Sefer Yoshua, that's actually what happens. This is Rashi as well. Asher darach bo Chevron kemo shenemar v'yavu ad Chevron. Fine. So we then find that, of course, once the people are told that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael, so a group decides that now we should go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the story of the Ma'apilim, you know, who try to force their way into Eretz Yisrael unsuccessfully. And the pasuk says at the end of the whole episode of the Meraglim, Perek Aleph, pasuk Mem Hey, Vatoshuvu Vativku Lifnei Hashem, you returned and cried before Hashem. In other words, after you were unsuccessful in being able to go into Eretz Yisrael, you cried. V'lo shama Hashem b'kolchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not listen to your voices. V'lo hezin aleichem. And he didn't listen to your crying out before him. The Targum Unculus has an interesting comment on this pasuk, or an interesting translation of this pasuk, which is very easy to miss unless you make a point of looking at it. So he translates the first half of the pasuk, "Vatoshuva atifku lefnei Hashem v'savtun v'chesun kadam Hashem." You returned and you cried before Hashem. That's the literal translation of the first half of the pasuk. Nothing, particularly outstanding over there. But then on the phrase "V'lo shama Hashem bekolchem," Kadosh Baruch Hu did not hear your voices. Targum Unculus writes, "V'lo kabel Hashem tzloscham." HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not accept your prayers. Now that's not a literal translation of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'lo shama Hashem bekolchem." Hashem didn't listen to your voices. In the absence of the Targum Unculus, I would assume that what that pasuk means is as follows. You cried in desperation. You were very, very upset. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu ignored you. But there's no, in the simple reading of the pasuk, there isn't necessarily any reference to tefillah whatsoever. In other words, why did you cry? Because you were upset. Not every act of crying is an act of tefillah. Sometimes people just cry because they're upset. Comes the Targum Unculus and essentially tells us, no, v'atoshuvu v'atifku lifnei Hashem, you cried before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't just mean you got emotional, you got upset. It means you daven to Hashem. One of the forms of tefillah is b'chiyah, is crying before Hashem. Right? So in other words, v'atoshuvu v'atifku lifnei Hashem means you daven to Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected your tefillos. Now, that's interesting. First of all, because it portrays Klal Yisrael as ma'aminim, even after this whole story of the Miraglim. In other words, they weren't just crying, oh, that's a bummer, that really didn't work out. No, they're going before Hashem, they call a Yom Tefillah, they get everybody together in the shuls and they're saying Tehillah. I mean, not literally, but whatever. They're davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They still believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe in the Kolach HaTefillah. They believe in the power of tefillah. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm not going to accept your tefillos, right? I think another thing which is significant about this Targum Unculus is the following. We know that in Megillas Eicha, we're told, Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya, Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, even when I cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sosam tefilosi, my tefillah is blocked. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, of course, is saying it about the Churban. At the time of the Churban, at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, we were davening before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam basically closed the door of tefillah. He said, sorry, the tefillah is not going to enter, into my chambers. And this notion of sosam tefilosi, we know, has halachic implications in terms of how we observe Tisha B'Av, right? So to take one example, we, in the morning, when the idea, or at, in the evening and in the morning, when the idea of Sosam Tfilasi is its strongest, by the afternoon of Tisha B'Av already, some of the strictness of Tisha B'Av is lifted a little bit. We're already going into a mode of Nechama, of consolation. But Leil Tisha B'Av, and in the morning of Tisha B'Av, we leave out the line, Tiskavot Tzlosun Va'osan, from the Kaddish, right? We don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillos. Why? Because on some level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not accepting our tefillos on Tisha B'Av. Now again, we daven, there's an obligation to daven on Tisha B'Av, but there's a recognition that we can only daven the bare minimum, what we absolutely have to say, and,
even after Mincha?
Again, before Mincha, right? And it was Leil Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av in the morning, we leave out Tiskabel from the Kaddish, even from the so-called Kaddish Tiskabel, because Sosam Tfilosi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not accepting our tefillos. It's an interesting psak from the Rav Zatzal. The Rav, I'm not saying what we should do, we don't do this, but the Rav held it was inappropriate to make a Mishaberach for Cholim on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because Sosam Tfilosi. Right? In other words, yeah, okay, we say what we absolutely have to say, the actual tefillah itself, But what are you davening for a chola? It's not a day on which the tefillos of a chola, for a chola are going to be accepted. The door is blocked, at least, you know, in the night and in the morning. Maybe by mincha you can make a mishaberach for a chola. But this idea of sosam tefilosi, he said, means that these tefillos, which are not part of the regular Seder at tefillah, are just not going to be accepted. There's no point in making the mishaberach for a chola. It's an interesting idea. I'm not saying we hold of it lamaisa, but just bringing it out. Yeah.
Is that part of the reason why we don't put on tefillin in the morning?
That's not necessarily related to tefillah. That's we say that the glory of Klal Yisrael has been taken away. So the talis and the tefillin represent our glory, you know, and it's only really going to be restored in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. But what do I want to bring out over here with this Targum Onkelos? So where does this idea of sosam tefilosi come from? So on the surface, you would say from the pasuk Kanecha, Gam ki azak v'ashaveyat sosam tefilosi by the churban bayis rishon. You know, there was a stimas hatfilos; the tefilos were not being accepted. But according to this Targum Onkelos, the idea of sosam tefilosi may go back to the very first Tisha B'Av, not the Tisha B'Av of the churban abayis, but the Tisha B'Av of the Meraglim. Already by the time of that first Tisha B'Av of the Meraglim, it says in the Targum Onkelos, they cried before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo kabil Hashem tzeloschot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in hearing your tefilos. Why? Well, that sounds like sosam tefilosi. So the sosam tefilosi that Yirmiyahu was making reference to in Megillas Eicha wasn't a new idea. It was an application, an extension of the idea of sosam tefilosi, which was put in place by the Chet HaMiraglim, which was attached to Tisha B'Av already from the Chet HaMiraglim, and it was just a carryover of that idea, you know, into the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Again, I think one can suggest that based on this Targum Onkelos. Al Kapanu, we still have a little bit of time. Yeah. Yeah. Kashli v'lo mitzosiv. Right, but does that mean that the tefillos weren't there? I know there's one level of saying the shechina wasn't there. There's another level of saying I'm going to make a mishaberach for cholim and it's not going to be accepted. You know, that's already like a bigger, you know, a bigger loss. You know that the, you know, and as we believe the tefillos can be accepted even when the shechina is not there in its fullest extent. You're saying, you know, if we understand that that's talking about the Meraglim, the Kashti V'lo Mitzosiv. Right, okay, I hear. I mean, I think the Targum Onkelos is a little more explicit. In other words, that the Tfilos themselves are not going to be accepted by the Rav Moshe. Right.
Right. Just like Eichel, maybe likewise say,
and Shir Hashem you have it as well. Right, right. No, I hear. Right. Anyone over the age of 60? Right. Huh? Anyone over the age of 60? Right. Yeah, Erechin Rabin. Right.
You know, the engineer behind the building of the
right.
Mishkan.
The Salo. Right.
Salo.
Right. Right.
The one who went into when they crossed the Red Sea.
Right. Actually, I mean, also.
Huh?
Yeah, okay.
Right. So weren't there other people too?
I mean, again, the Gemara says anyone over the age of 60 went in. Bitsalo Mustama went in. Bitsalo was.
And he went over the age.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so Be'ezus Hashem, we still have a little bit of time till Motzei Shabbos. Halavai, between now and then, the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt, and we should be zochet to just be reading this parsha and thinking about the wonderful Yom Tov that will come upon us. That Yigilu Beis Yisrael L'Sasa and L'Simcha. We can't even catch a Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, L'Zachus, Yisrael.